This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu al atamman al akmalani ala khayri khalqillahi ajma'in. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihadih wa stanna bi sunnatihi ila yawmiddin. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وأدخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين آمين وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue our series on the most beautiful names of Allah, Al-Asma Al-Husna. After taking a break of several weeks, and so we have been going through several of Allah's names. In fact, we have covered most of the names of Allah that we find in the Quran and the Sunnah. We have covered the majority of the names that are found in the Quran and the Sunnah. And inshallah ta'ala, over the coming weeks, we'll be winding down, taking whatever remains of the most beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our last class, we covered three names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relating to His perfection. And those three names were Al-Quddus, Al-Subbuh, and Al-Salam. And so today we continue on to another three names of Allah that are related to His praiseworthy nature, which is similar to Him being perfect. But now these names are a result of His perfection. And so these three names are Al-Hamid, Al-Shakir, and Al-Shakur. Al-Hamid, Al-Shakir, and Al-Shakur. As for Al-Hamid, this name is a very common name of Allah, and it has been mentioned 17 times in the Quran, and 10 of those times it has been mentioned along with Al-Ghani. And this is a name that we still have not come across, and we're going to come across it inshallah ta'ala in the near future. And so, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ibrahim, verse 8, وَقَالَ مُوسَىٰ إِن تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Musa alayhi salam said, if all of you and everyone on earth were to disbelieve, were to be ungrateful to Allah, then know that Allah is Ghani, self-sufficient, and He is Hamid, the all-praisey one, the all-praiseworthy one, the praiseworthy one. This name has also been mentioned with Majid. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hud, verse 73, إِنَّهُ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. إِنَّهُ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. And Majid is a name that we covered previously. It means the one who is all glorious, Al-Majid. And so here Allah says that He is the praiseworthy and the all glorious. And Hamidun Majid also comes together in the Salah. in the salah that we send upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the tahiyyat, which is known as darood. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, until the end of it. Innahu innaka hamidun majid. Innaka hamidun majid. So these are the various, these are some examples of where Allah has mentioned his name, Hamid. Now, besides Allah mentioning his name Hamid, explicitly that name, we mentioned that that name has been mentioned 17 times in the Quran. However, the noun form has been mentioned numerous times in the Quran. So as a name, it has been mentioned 17 times. As a noun, it has been mentioned approximately 40 times in the Quran. What is a noun of Al-Hamid? Al-Hamd. Al-Hamd. And so Allah mentions throughout the Quran that to him belongs Al-Hamd. In fact, the very beginning of the Quran, it starts with that. Al-Hamdu lillahi rabbil alameen. To Allah belongs all praise. As for the two other names that we have, Ash-Shakir and Ash-Shakur, Ash-Shakir has been mentioned twice in the Quran. And so in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 158, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَاكِرٌ عَلِيمٌ وَمَن تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَاكِرٌ عَلِيمٌ. Whoever does good willingly, voluntarily, he does good, meaning good deeds, then Allah is truly shakir, meaning he is truly appreciative, and alim, the all-knowing. And the other place where shakir is mentioned is in Surah An-Nisa, verse 147, and it has also been mentioned with alim. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Why should Allah punish you if you are grateful and if you believe? Why should Allah punish you if you are grateful and you believe? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. And Allah is ever appreciative and all-knowing. As for Shakur, Shakur, this name has been mentioned 4 times in the Quran. And out of the 4 times, 3 times it has been mentioned along with Ghafur. And the once it has been mentioned with Halim. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fatir, verse 30, لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. So that he rewards them in full and increases them out of his bounty, his grace. He is truly Shakur, or he is Ghafur, the all-forgiving, and Shakur. إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. And Shakur means the same thing as Shakir, the one who is most appreciative. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ash-Shura, verse 23, وَمَنْ يَقْتَرِفْ حَسَنَةً نَزِدْ لَهُ فِيهَا حُسْنًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. And whoever earns a good deed, we will increase it in goodness for him. Surely Allah is Ghafoor, the all-forgiving, and Shakur, the most appreciative. So what do these names of Allah, what do they mean? As for Al-Hamid, as we mentioned, it comes from the word Al-Hamd, which means praise. And so Al-Hamid is the one who is praised and the one who is praiseworthy. The one who is praised by others and the one who is worthy of all praise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being the praiseworthy one, the one who deserves Al-Hamd, the scholars mention it is for two reasons. He deserves praise for two reasons. The first is because of who he is. Simply because of who he is. And so when we look at all of Allah's names and attributes, what we find is that they are all praiseworthy names and attributes in every respect, without there being any dispraise in any of his names and attributes. In fact, they reach the highest level of praiseworthiness. And so that is because of who Allah is, that he is praiseworthy, because of who he is. And we learn that through his names and attributes. The second reason is because of the good that he does for his creation. So he deserves praise, not only because of who he is, but because of what he does. Because of the good and the bounties and the blessings that he sends down upon his creation. And so all blessings come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how great, no matter how small they are. And what do you do when someone does you a favor? You thank them and you praise them. And so a person who is generous, he's always giving, he's always helping people, people praise him because of his generosity. And so people praise him even if they are not on the receiving end of his generosity. That person is praised. He is called someone generous. He is, you know, people praise him. So how about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who every blessing and bounty, the source of it is from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we find in the Quran, Allah mentions him being worthy of praise generally, without any reason mentioned, such as Alhamdu lillahi rabbil alamin. All praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of al-alamin, the worlds. Walahu alhamdu fil ula wal akhirah. To him belongs praise in the beginning and the end. So these are general statements of praise. And then we find in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning him being worthy of praise for certain things that he does. And they are generally bounties, blessings. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people of Jannah, when they enter Jannah, what will they say? In Surah Al-A'raf, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. They will say, all praise belongs to Allah, the one who guided us to this, and without him having guided us, we would not have been guided to this. So here they are praising Allah for his guidance. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah mentions the story of Nuh alayhi salam, and at the end Allah tells Nuh alayhi salam, after he saves him, فإذا استويت أنت ومن معك على الفلك فقل الحمد لله الذي نجانا من القوم الظالمين. Allah tells Nuh عليه السلام, once you have settled and your ark, your ship, has settled down at its resting place, and the storm and the flood is over, and you know the disbelievers have been destroyed, say, Allah tells Nuh alayhi salam, say Alhamdulillah, say all praise belongs to Allah, الَّذِي نَجَّانَا مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ, the one who saved us from these wrongdoing people, from these oppressors. So here he is praising Allah for having saved him. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, in Surah Ibrahim, Ibrahim alayhi salam says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi wahaba li 'ala al-kibari Isma'ila wa Ishaq. Ibrahim alayhi salam says, Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah, for having gifted me in my old age Ismail and Ishaq. So here he is thanking Allah, praising Allah for having gifted him with these children at this old age. So to Allah belongs all praise because of what He does for us, because of His bounties and His blessings. So this is Al-Hamid. As for Al-Shakir and Al-Shakur, it comes from the word shukr, which means gratitude. And so it means, these two names mean the one who is most thankful, who is most appreciative for the good that we do. And so he is gratefully giving large rewards, even for a small amount of good work, a small, you know, small good deeds. And so all of the verses that mention Shakir and Shakur, so in total they are 6 verses. Ash-Shakur has been mentioned 4 times and Ash-Shakir has been mentioned twice. If we reflect over these verses, we find that they are all mentioned in the context of the good that we do, the good deeds that we do, indicating that Allah appreciates the good that we do and He rewards us abundantly for the good that we do, not allowing a single good deed to go to waste, no matter how small it may be. He records it and then He rewards us for it. Not only does He reward us, but He multiplies the reward. That's how appreciative He is. He multiplies the rewards for us more than what we deserve. And so good deeds, as we all know, are multiplied by 10. Each good deed that you do, the reward that you will receive from Allah will be tenfold. That's the minimum. And the maximum has no limit. But one example that we have in the Quran is 700 times. And that is for sadaqah. That is for a sadaqah. But the point here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being Ash-Shakir and Ash-Shakur, means that He is grateful and appreciative of what we do, of good deeds, and then He rewards us abundantly for that. However, here it is important to note that the difference between us being described with gratefulness, us human beings, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being described with gratefulness is that we human beings are only grateful to those who do good to us. You thank someone for the good that he does to you, either with words, by saying thank you, or with dua, jazakallahu khayra, etc., or by giving him a gift, rewarding him for the good that he did to you. As for Allah, when we say Allah is thankful to us, he is grateful to us, the good that we do is not a favor that we are giving to Allah. We're not doing Allah a favor. That's not why he's thanking us. Rather, when we do good, it is a favor that we are doing to our own selves. Whatever good we do, it's a favor that we are doing for our own selves. We are the ones who benefit from it. On the other hand, when someone does good and you thank him, it's because you benefited from something that he did for you. Allah does not benefit from anything that we do for him. We do it for his sake, but he doesn't benefit at all from it. And so he is al-ghani, the self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything from us. As such, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thanks us for the good that we do for our own selves, whereas we human beings only thank those who do good for us. So look at the huge difference between the two kinds of gratitude. On the one hand, Allah thanks us for the good that we do for our own selves. On the other hand, we human beings, we only thank those who do good for us. You don't thank anyone else. You thank those who do good for you. And so these are the two names, Ash-Shakir and Ash-Shakur. Now, what are the lessons that we learn from these names of Allah? Al-Hamid, Ash-Shakir, and Ash-Shakur. First of all, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone deserves full unrestricted hamd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves and is worthy of full unrestricted praise. As for others, no matter how praiseworthy they may be, they do not deserve full unrestricted praise, because in the end of the day, they are human beings who have shortcomings and they have some unpraiseworthy attributes. And so even the most praiseworthy of human beings, who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact, his name means exactly that. It comes from Alhamd, Muhammad, the one who is praised, the one who deserves praise. Even he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, does not deserve the praise that Allah deserves. That's why you don't find anywhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us to praise him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not once. What you find is Allah telling us to send salah and salam upon him. And that's it. But nowhere does Allah tell us that we should praise him. But rather, throughout the Quran, Allah tells us that we should praise none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah is to be praised for everything. For who he is, for his names, his attributes. But not only that, but also for his decisions, for his actions. And so even if there may be something that we dislike from what Allah has decided, from the qadr of Allah, and so everything that happens, whether good or bad, it happens as a result of Allah decreeing it. It makes sense, you praise Allah for the good that happens. How about the evil? Suffering, calamities, etc. Even for that, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even for that, we praise Allah. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us. That when something happens that we may dislike, we should say, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. Praise belongs to Allah in every state, whether good or bad. All praise belongs to Allah at all times, in every situation. Why? Because to Allah we can only attribute good. Even evil, we do not attribute it to Allah. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al khayru kulluhu biyadayk wa sharru laysa ilayk." That all good is in your hands, O Allah, and evil is not attributed to you. Yes, Allah decrees evil, and that's the meaning of our iman in qadr. خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that among the pillars of iman, the sixth pillar of iman is qadr, he mentioned the good and the evil of it. Allah decrees it, but we don't attribute evil to Allah. How do we understand this? Basically, from our perspective, it's evil. But from Allah's perspective, it's good. Whatever Allah decrees, there's good in it, whether we see it or not, whether we see Allah's wisdom in it or not, the good is there. And this is what we have to believe in. Part of our iman is to believe that Allah deserves all praise, even for that which we may dislike, that which we may see as being pure evil. There is no such thing as pure evil. There is no such thing as pure evil from all perspectives, from all angles. And this is how we, this is one of the ways in which we respond to what is known as the problem of evil. This concept that atheists like to bring up to reject the existence of Allah. And so they say, if there exists an all merciful, all loving God, then why does He allow evil and suffering? So one of the ways in which we respond is by saying that there's no such thing as pure evil and suffering from all perspectives. And a good example that we can give regarding this is, if there was a child that gets injured, let's say he injures his leg, and the father, who is all caring and loving, takes him to the doctor, and the doctor says, if you want your son to survive, we have to amputate his leg. We have to cut off his leg. From the perspective of the child, this is pure evil. This is nothing but evil. There cannot be any good in that, because he doesn't understand. The child is not at that level to understand that there is good in this for him. But from the perspective of the father, he is loving, he is caring, and he's doing this for his own good. So there is a perspective, an angle of good, but the child does not see it. Likewise, the evil, the suffering that we see in our world, Allah decrees it, Allah allows it to happen, but we do not attribute the evil aspect to Allah. We say when Allah decrees it and allows it to happen, He does so for a good reason. And there's a wisdom in it, even though we may not see it. And we may never see it. So the point is that to Allah belongs all praise in every situation, at all times. The second lesson that we learn from these names is that we praise Allah and we thank Him. Not just for what He has done for us, but because of who He is, and because He is worthy of all praise and thanks, all hamd, all shukr. And we do this with our hearts, with our tongues, and with our actions. And so, alhamd is with our hearts and with our tongues, and this comes under the dhikr of Allah. As for ash-shukr, it is with our heart, our tongue, and our actions. How do we show gratefulness to Allah through our actions? By only using our body parts in the obedience of Allah. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, when the companion saw that his feet were swollen and started to crack because of how long he would stand in salah at night. So his response to them was, and so they asked him, that, Ya Rasulullah, why are you doing this to yourself when all of your sins have been forgiven? And so his response was, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful servant of Allah? And so this is how we show thanks to Allah. Gratitude, a shukr, we show it to Allah through our actions and through our ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third point, what is the difference between alhamd and ash-shukr? And so there is a difference between the two. And so scholars, they mention that ash-shukr is more general in terms of how to perform ash-shukr, in terms of how to be grateful to Allah. So we mentioned that ash-shukr is with the heart, the tongue, and our actions. Whereas alhamd is specific only to the heart and the tongue. We don't say that we praise Allah with our actions. No, it is only with our heart that we praise Allah, and with our tongues. We say alhamdulillah, we praise Him with all kinds of praises. Whereas shukr is more general. Also, alhamd is more general than ash-shukr in terms of what we are grateful to Allah for. So alhamd is for all of Allah's blessings, past and present, and even future. To Allah belongs praise for everything. When we say alhamdulillah, it's general. Whether it be for blessings that Allah has blessed us with, or He has blessed others with. Whether it be because of blessings, or because of who Allah is, as we mentioned earlier. To Allah belongs alhamd because of who He is, irrespective of whether He blesses us with blessings or not. So alhamd is more general. Whereas ash-shukr is specific for things that Allah has done for us. You thank Allah. You thank Allah for His blessings. Allah has done me this favor and that favor and blessed me with this and that, and that's why I am grateful to Allah. I am thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's the difference between Alhamd and Ash-Shukr. The fourth lesson is that because of the importance of Alhamd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it as a form of dhikr. And so we say Alhamdulillah. And so because of the importance of praising Allah, He has taught us to say it on so many different occasions. Whether in our acts of ibadah or outside of our acts of ibadah. And so we are taught in our salah to start with the Fatiha, which starts with Alhamd. And then when we get up from ruku', سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِيدَهُ, Allah hears the one who praises Him. And then in the rest of the salah, whenever Alhamd is mentioned. So this is inside of ibadah. Outside of ibadah, on various occasions. And so after salah, we say Alhamdulillah 33 times. Also, on certain occasions. And so after eating, we say Alhamdulillah. After sneezing, we say Alhamdulillah. And all the other times in which this dhikr is mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in various adhkar. Now, what is the difference between Alhamdulillah and Subhanallah? And so we mentioned previously in the last class Allah's name As-Subbuh. And from that we have Subhanallah. And so Subhanallah means to declare Allah free of all deficiencies. And so Subhanallah is your statement where you are saying that Allah is free of all negative attributes. So you are negating all imperfection from Allah. When you say Subhanallah, you are basically declaring that Allah is free of all imperfection. And when you say Alhamdulillah, you are affirming all perfection for Allah. You are praising Allah for Him being perfect. And so that is the difference between the two. And so this is how Tasbih and Tahmid come together in terms of our belief concerning who Allah is. They have to go together. You cannot believe that Allah, all perfection is attributed to Him, while not believing that you have to declare Allah free of imperfection. Nor can you declare Allah as being free from imperfection without affirming perfection to Him. And this is what we find in all of Allah's names and attributes. When you affirm a name or an attribute of Allah, it is a name or an attribute that contains perfection. At the same time, you are negating an attribute of imperfection. For example, when you say Allah is Al-Hayy, the ever-living, you are affirming perfect life for Allah. At the same time, you are negating imperfection, and that is death or sleep, etc. Likewise, when you say that Allah is not described with dhulm, with oppression. This is a negative attribute. When you say, as Allah says, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا, your Lord does not do injustice to anyone. When you are declaring Allah free from al-dhulm, you are declaring Him to be completely just. And justice is an attribute of perfection. Finally, the last point that we'll mention, the last lesson, notice how we mentioned earlier that ash-shakur is mentioned 4 times in the Quran. Out of the 4 times, 3 times it comes with al-ghafur. So what's the wisdom in that? Innahu ghafurun shakur. Inna allaha ghafurun shakur. Inna rabbana laghafurun shakur. And so the wisdom in that is that Allah is forgiving of all sins. Ghafur, the all-forgiving one. He is forgiving of all sins, no matter how great they may be. And at the same time, He is Shakur. He is appreciative of every good, no matter how small it may be. And so this is why it is not permissible for the believer to despair of Allah's mercy and to say that my sins are too great for Allah to forgive. I have so many sins. They are so great. I did this and that, and I don't think that Allah will forgive me. And so he falls into despair, losing hope in Allah's mercy, because he thinks that there are sins too great for Allah to forgive. And at the same time, it is not permissible for the believer to underestimate any good deed, to look at any good deed as being small and insignificant for Allah. Never underestimate a good deed, no matter how small it may be. And we have so many examples of this in the Sunnah, such as that hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the prostitute who was forgiven for doing a small deed, which was, what was it? She gave water to the cat. And so do not look at any good deed as being too small or insignificant in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's what we learn from Allah being Ghafur, Shakur. He is forgiving of all sins, no matter how great they are. And He is appreciative of all good that we do, no matter how small it may be. And Allah knows best. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who praise Him and who thank Him and who are grateful servants of His subhanahu wa ta'ala. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.